Soulja Boy Tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Oh, it's evening for me. It's happy 311 day for me. I'm recording on March 11th, so happy 311 day to everyone who may be listening. Man, I love that opening song that we got playing because it just gets me jacked up to do this podcast. It really does. It kind of reminds me of Neck, the way Neck makes me feel when I hear it, because, man, it just gets me all hyped up and pumped up and just ready to go. So thanks for joining us tonight. Please follow us on Twitter at Tiger_podcast. So join us there. Got a jam-packed show again tonight. I am flying solo once again. This is episode number 9. So let's get started with some LSU football. All right, to start off the jump with football, the first thing that kind of happened today was Maurice Hampton entered the transfer portal. He's a cornerback for LSU football, and he also is on the baseball team. Hasn't got much playing time on the team. There's a lot of talented athletes kind of in front of him. So he decided to enter transfer portal. It's kind of interesting for him to do that, really, because, like, yesterday, Wednesday, he was with the baseball team when they played UNO. So just to jump into it, I guess it's something that he's been wanting to do for a while and just decided to go ahead and do it. So best of luck to him. I hope he lands on his feet. I'm sure he will. He's a talented football and baseball player. I don't know if he'll play both sports wherever he goes to school next. I guess that's part of his decision-making process. But best of luck to Maurice Hampton. Coach O made a few statements about some players that kind of jumped out at me. He said Jamari Jenkins, who is a wide receiver, has been very energetic during workouts and really sees him as stepping up and being a leader of this team. Also, defensive end Andre Anthony seems to be emerging as a leader of the defense. So it's good to see these guys starting to take a leadership role as they are doing spring workouts. He also mentioned that Miles Brennan is healthy and is leading the team, and he labeled, you know, some of his workouts as elite. So it seems like he's coming off of injury pretty well, which is very good. I think that, you know, it's his job to lose as far as quarterback goes. And, you know, kind of like we said before, on previous episodes, you know, he looked really good at the beginning of the season before his injury. So I really look forward to him stepping in and leading the Tigers this fall. Also, offensive coordinator Coach Pete mentioned that he wanted to turn LSU into a quarterback university. He feels Joe Burrow kind of set the standard, and he wants to continue that, which would be really good because for a long, long time, LSU was pretty much a quarterback away from really being dominant. You know, obviously we had a few seasons where we won national championships, but if they can turn this kind of like we call it DBU, if we can turn it into QBU, I think that would tremendously help out the offense. And, you know, just with our passing game now, you know, we've moved on, I think, from constantly trying to pound and run the ball and moved on to a spread offense. So there's really no reason that we can't get in quality prospects and develop them, and hopefully with this new young offensive coaching staff we can do that. You know, it starts this year with Miles Brennan, and then, you know, you look at some of the younger guys coming in. Yeah, I definitely think it could turn into a QBU, and that's that. You know, the quarterback is the big position. It's the position that's going to lead the team. It's the position that's going to dictate how far a team goes. And that's not just in, you know, college football, it's in NFL too. You look at any good team, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, they were a quarterback away basically from winning the Super Bowl when they got the GOAT and won the Super Bowl. It's definitely an important position. I'm going to kind of shift now a little bit. We discussed at length last week the Hugh Blackwell report. I'm sorry, the Hush Blackwell report. Sorry about that. And how the report was coming out on the Friday. We discussed Les Miles and the allegations lobbied against him. And, you know, I told you that we were kind of going to more about the Hush Blackwell report. And honestly, you know, on the show at the time that we did it, I really thought that this was going to be big. I thought it was going to be major repercussions for LSU and for some of the people that worked for LSU currently. But apparently, that wasn't the case. It wasn't the case because LSU chose for it not to be the case. I do think it was a big deal. I think what happened was a huge deal, or what didn't happen, or what should have happened was a huge deal. But instead, LSU decided to basically say, all the people who, you know, are involved in this are pretty much gone. You know, we got a couple people here that were here then that are still here now. Not a big deal. We're just gonna go ahead and just suspend them for, you know, a month or so without pay and make them go to a class and, you know, all happy, you know, fairy dust and bull crap. Very extremely disappointed in this university and what they have done with this situation and how they've handled it. They're going to build out their Title IX staff and add positions. Basically, they have one Title IX person running the whole university, which is absolutely ridiculous. The staff they're adding is how it should have been from the beginning and how it should have been run. And then you got clowns like Virge Ausberry, who gets suspended for 31 days without pay. Suspended for 31 days without pay. That is the most ridiculous thing. That man should not be anywhere near a university. And the fact that he is just ridiculous and embarrassing. And then also Miriam, frick, I don't even know what the hell last name, Sayer, Seeger, I don't know. She gets 21 days suspension. She's an associate AD as well. Just an absolute joke what this university is doing right now with this. And then you had students go and protest, which they should. They should go and protest. They blocked the driveways entering and exiting the stadium parking lot. They should have. They should have done a lot more, and they should do it every day until this crap gets straightened out, because it's not straightened out at all. One thing I will say that we talked about last time, I talked about Julia Sell, who's the tennis coach. She won't get disciplined. Apparently, there was not enough evidence, or wasn't good evidence to really convict her or punish her in any way. I mean, I told you what she did, or what she, you know, what was alleged she did. I'll let y'all be the judge for that. I mean, it's a freaking tennis coach. She probably shouldn't be there anyway, anymore. I don't know how these people just, I mean, I guess I do. They don't have the moral fiber to report things the way they're supposed to, so I guess they don't have the moral fiber to just resign like they should. You know, they want to do, quote unquote, what's best for the university. What's best for the university is for you to get the hell out. That's what's best for the university. Sickening. It's disgusting. This guy, Virge Ausberry, instead of having people report to the Title IX compliance person, they were told to report to him. Ridiculous. You totally just went around the law. And I hope, I really hope, because this Title IX is federal law. Okay? It's not anything developed by the NCAA or the SEC. It is federal law. And I really hope the FBI investigates this clown and he goes to jail, because that's where he belongs, if not under it. So then we're going to shift to Les Miles. Now, obviously, we talked about all the allegations that came out. So, not Kentucky, Kansas, Fred first suspended him and then fired him, which he needed to go. I mean, he definitely needed to go, but at the same time, how do you don't do your due diligence when you're hiring a coach like that, you know, to lead your football program, and is ridiculous as well. And the because of that, the athletic director also got let go from Kansas. So good riddance to the athletic director. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, Gorillon's the Les Miles. Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Good Guy. Yeah, about gone. And speaking of a-holes, you want to talk about one of the biggest a-holes in this whole situation is Darius Geis. This man is sick and needs to be in prison. This man, and look, when he was at LSU, I love this guy. When he went to the pros, I love this guy. He has such good talent, but he is a piece of human garbage. Sexually harassing women constantly. He will never play another down in the NFL. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. No team wants to go anywhere near him. Not to mention he's injury prone with all this other stuff. This sicko, before he played his final game at LSU, sexually harassed a 70-year-old attendant during a high school championship game in the Superdome. Sexually harassed a 70-year-old woman. You telling me this guy ain't sick? Give me a freaking break. He needs to be in jail. He's disgusting. Disgusting. And I hope he rots. I hope he freaking rots. He will never work for another NFL team. I can promise you. He won't. They won't go anywhere near him. And I hope he ends up broke and alone and homeless. He can go so people can go and sexually harass him. That's why he needs to be in prison. He needs to be in prison because he needs to be anal raped every night for the rest of his life. It's disgusting. Excuse me, sorry. It really irks my nerves. And it really pisses me off that LSU allowed this to happen and then came up with this bullshit response to it. And that's what it is. It's bullshit. And I know I'm not supposed to curse because it's Lent, but it's bullshit. So we're going to move on to some better news. We're going to start talking about some LSU basketball. All right, LSU finished up their season defeating Missouri 86 to 80. Because of this win, they got the number 3 seed in the SEC tournament. They have 39 victories from 2019 to 2021, which is more than any other team over that 3-year period. So we talked about last week how Coach Wade is trying to produce and have consistency, and that's about as consistent as it gets. The most wins out of any team during that time period. So congrats to Coach Wade. Cam Thomas, you know, we've talked about him all year. He's been playing phenomenal. He was the freshman of the week again. He was named USA Today SEC Newcomer of the Year. He was first team All SEC. Trenton Wofford was also first team All SEC. And let me tell you something about Trenton Wofford. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the season how his hair was crazy, and he seemed to play better. Then he put it in the braids, and then his play seemed to go down. But let me tell you something. The braids are gone, and the hair is back. And I love it. I pray that he keeps his hair like that for the SEC tournament, because I think that's the only way we have a chance to do well in that tournament, is if his hair is just buck wild and crazy. So he was first team all SEC. Javon Smart was second team all SEC. Cam Thomas, first freshman to lead the SEC in scoring since 1989. That is an incredible stat right there. Let me repeat that stat for you so you can understand just how incredible it was. He is the first freshman to lead the SEC in scoring in 32 years. Think about all the players, all the great players that have played in the SEC that when they were freshmen. I mean, nowadays, a lot of them are one and done if they're any good. But this cat is the first freshman to lead the SEC in scoring since 1989, 30-something years. That is just incredible. So hats off to Cam. So SEC tournament started actually technically yesterday. Yesterday, Vandy beat Texas A&M. They went on to play Florida today. Florida beat Vandy, so they will play Tennessee in the next round of the tournament. Mississippi State beat Kentucky, so Mississippi State will be playing Bama in their next tournament game. So tonight, at South Carolina, well, tonight Georgia and Missouri are playing. The winner of that game plays Arkansas. I don't I wouldn't want to be either one of those teams that have to play Arkansas. And actually, if I check real quick, that game has probably been concluded. All right, Missouri beat Georgia 73-70. So Missouri will be playing Arkansas. And then Ole Miss was playing South Carolina. We do have a final in that game. Ole Miss defeated South Carolina 76-59. So LSU will be playing Ole Miss Friday night, is what it boils down to. So they will be playing Ole Miss Friday night. It is the second game, the final game of the night. So that game starts, I believe, a half hour after the first game, the evening game finishes. So the evening game starts, I believe, at 6:30. So LSU will play 30 minutes after that game concludes against Ole Miss. So look, Will Wade has come out and said, and it's no secret, the basketball team really hasn't done well in the SEC tournament in the past, I don't know, 20 years, to be honest. So, Will Wade's kind of made it of an emphasis this year that they need to play well in this tournament. And, by playing well, the only thing you can do is help them get a higher seed in the NCAA bracket. Of course, from winning the SEC tournament, you are crowned the SEC champ. So we'll see how it goes. Best of luck to them. They play, like I said, Friday night. I believe it's on SEC Network. It's either on SEC Network or one of the ESPN, ESPN, or ESPN2. So tune in for that on Friday night. We are going to roll on to LSU baseball. All right, we're talking Tiger baseball. Last series last weekend was against Oral Roberts. The first game they lost 22-7. Now, let me tell you about this 22-7 score. I know it sounds like a football score, but it was baseball, I promise you. It was basically an anomaly. They got to Hill early. Hill started the game. They got to him early. I don't think he made it out the first inning. And then we used several pitchers throughout the night. We actually came back a little bit. It made the game close, but Oral Roberts had an 11-run inning. You could probably live the rest of your life and not see LSU give up an 11-run inning. The game was just an anomaly, and that's baseball. I mean, baseball, sometimes you have off nights, and it's what you do average wise over a long period of time that really determines your fate, especially when you get up into the major leagues. You're gonna have games like this. You don't see them as much in college, but it does happen, and it's baseball. I'm not hitting the panic button yet on this team because there is a lot of talent on this team. I've said that about the basketball team. Their season's kind of up and down. I don't necessarily see that for LSU baseball. I really see them being hopefully consistent in winning series and beating teams they should beat. So in game two, and this is kind of a prime example. So we only score 7 runs. We lose 22-7. And then, they score. Oral Roberts scores 22 runs the first game. Second game, they come out and LSU shuts them out, and LSU wins 12-0. It's baseball. That's gonna happen. You score 22 runs one night and then 0 the next. Now, Landon Morseau in this game, 6 scoreless innings. Morseau right now is probably the best pitcher on the staff. He's got 17 straight scoreless innings. Hill just had a bad game that first game. And Levis has been doing okay, but Morseau has been really the rock and a consistent person. And, a lot of times you think, well, should they move him up in the rotation? Should they move him to Friday night? And I think he is perfect exactly where he is. And I say that because of this. If you win Friday night, you have your best pitcher go on Saturday. If you win that game, you win the series. If you lose on Friday night, you have your best pitcher going in that second game. If you win that one, then you still have a chance at the series. If you lose it, then you've lost the series. So you want to have your one of your strongest pitchers there. That way you can get to game three, which is, would be the rubber game if you lose the first one. So definitely I would keep Marceau where he is. Game three, LSU lost 3-1. The issues really of this game was not getting hits, timely hits. They had 1 run with they were 1 for I'm sorry, they were 1 for 15 with runners in scoring position. one for 15. You're not going to score, obviously, when you're one for 15. And I will say this, they hit the ball very hard. A lot of these balls that they hit just happen to be right at people. And balls like that are going to just fall in eventually. So I expect them to, keep hitting and doing well. Now, they played later in the week. They played Tuesday against Texas Southern. They won 10-4. Hilliard came in relief in this game and was really just great. He looked like the old Hilliard. He, to talk about hair, he, I think he had been pitching okay. He had kind of the dreads coming out and pitching, saying not that great. Well, he went back to the fade and man, he just blew it up. So, baseball players are very superstitious. I'm very superstitious. I was a baseball player. If you're not doing something right, and you're not doing well, you change something to make, the superstition go away or make that bad luck go away, and vice versa. If you're doing really well, you keep doing the same thing you're doing. So, Money also pitched in this game. He was okay. Mr. Kenny Powers himself. Good win, 10-4. They also played last night, Wednesday night, versus UNO. They won 5-0. Will Helmers got the win. He's 3-1 on the season. Will Helmers has been, other than him trying to play third base, has really been a bright spot in the midweek pitching staff. I can definitely see Helmers possibly later in the year, maybe starting games for sure next year. I think he'll be one of the three in the main rotation next year because he is just really doing well. He pitched 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, no runs. So pitching wise, just keep him out of the infield and not playing third base, and he's doing good. Interesting in this game, Fontenot came in, kind of I think in the 7th inning, and Fontenot's been kind of up and down a little bit this season. Some folks were kind of worried about him. He kind of pitched himself into a tough spot during this game, but was able to pitch out of it, and it really showed just his resiliency. And I think he's going to be fine. He'll go back to probably being our closer. And I think he'll do a good job. You, like I said before, it's baseball. You're going to go through ebbs and flows of the season. You just need to be better more often than not. And as long as you do that, you'll be fine. Also, kind of good news in the Texas Southern game, Doty came back. He was the second baseman that was injured. We talked about last week. He got injured during a home run celebration when somebody hit him on the back too hard and kind of injured his little wing back there. Interesting, his first at bat, he actually came up and hit a home run. So it was definitely good to have his bat back in the game. He was our second baseman. Since he got injured, they've shuffled around the infield a good bit. They actually put him at third, and he looked very good at third. He looked very natural at third. So he was at third. Arnold was at second base, Zach Arnold, and Jordan Thompson was at shortstop. And that combination, we talked about how Maneri likes to kind of play with the lineup. He was going to need to find the right combo. And I really think that combination worked well. The infield looked very smooth. They looked like they were in the right spot. They were in the right position. So I really expect, starting when we start SEC play in a couple of weeks, that'll probably be your infield. It'll be Doty at third, Arnold at second, and Jordan Thompson at shortstop. And I think that's probably going to be the lineup. Which, like I said, if it works, it works. They seem to be feeling well. These guys are hitting well. Speaking of hitting well, I talk about Dylan Cruz a lot because he is obviously he is the best player on the field. I'm not gonna lie, he's the best player on the field. But man, freshman Trey Morgan, this kid here, he's the first baseman. He's from Brother Martin. He is phenomenal. He has been absolutely incredible defensively. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen him pick balls and just made some great plays. But offensively, he is just coming through. Here's where he ranks offensively on the team. First in average with a .396 average, first in doubles with 4, first in triples with 2, first in RBIs with 15. He does get hit by the pitch a lot. I've seen that several times. He's been hit 5 times. He's first in that. He's first in steals. He's 5 for 5. Second in on base percentage for .516, and second in runs with 16 runs. So, you talk about Dylan Cruz, which obviously is just, he's phenomenal, but man, Trey Morgan is just killing it right now. I'm very impressed with this young man. I really didn't expect him to be this good this soon. We've never really traditionally had a first baseman that is athletic as he is, because normally we would just, we would need a bat in the lineup and we'd stick whoever over at first. And, obviously they did a decent job enough to play first, but Morgan is a true first baseman, a very athletic first baseman. He's got some wheels on him. Like I said, he's got two triples already this year. Kid's just looking phenomenal. He really is. And with him, with Doty coming back, with Cruz, LSU is looking prime, hopefully, to make a run. Hopefully, Mineri doesn't screw it up for him. I know that's my Mineri bias coming out of me. This weekend, University of Texas and San Antonio is the series. Friday at 7 on SEC Network Plus, Saturday at 7 on SEC Network, and Sunday at 1 on SEC Network Plus. We were supposed to play Baylor on Saturday. That game got moved. Baylor couldn't come or whatever, so they are just going to play UT San Antonio three times. This is the last series before SEC play opens up the following weekend versus Mississippi State. So it's a big weekend to just, make sure that, all our I's are crossed and our T's are dotted and make sure that we are looking good. So, I'm looking forward to seeing them this weekend and looking forward to SEC play starting back up. A couple weeks, I really think the SEC is good. All right. I mean, they're good in all sports. I mean, that's just obvious. I mean, if you look at across the board, if you look at football, baseball, basketball, I'll just take the three main sports. The top of each league, each sport is an SEC team. You look at Bama at football, Arkansas and Bama in basketball this year. You look at baseball, LSU's always up there. Florida's usually up there. Vanderbilt's had a very good baseball team the past few years. So the SEC is obviously going to be very competitive. Like I said, you want to have that consistency. You want to be better more often than not. You need to win series on the weekends. You don't want to ever get swept in a series. That just doesn't happen for LSU. So you don't want that. And you want to win as many series as you can. So I'm looking forward to it. You'll have probably a lot more games on SEC Network, on regular SEC Network, since it'll be SEC play, two SEC teams, and you'll see more probably on ESPN, ESPN2, probably more so ESPN2. And hopefully LSU can just have a good season, get a regional, get a super regional, and I would love for them to go to Omaha. I really think the pitching has been great in spots, and the hitting's been great in spots. They just need to put it all together consistently over the season, and they'll be fine. So, looking forward to that. We're going to talk now about some LSU gymnastics. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get down to seat and jump around. Jump around. All right, in LSU's final meet of the year, they beat Missouri 197.876 to 196.175. It was a very good meet. We got some people back from injury in this meet. Haley Bryant got a 10 on vault. This vault she did was just unbelievable. Stuck the landing. It was beautiful. And then Kaya Johnson came back off of injury and was back on floor, and she got a 10 on floor just coming back off of injury. So with them coming back, with Kaya coming back, the team looking strong, you want to go finish the season with a win. So it's important that they did that. It was senior night. I've talked about this group of seniors before, just about how amazing they are. And one person I want to point out, and I talked about I was trying to get her on the show earlier this year and was very close to doing so. And hopefully once she finishes the season and graduates, we can get her on the show. Is Olivia Gunter. She's just the heart and soul of this team. She hadn't performed all year. And in gymnastics, you can do what's called an exhibition, which basically is you get to do a turn, but it doesn't count against your aggregate score. And they did it for all the seniors on that senior night. And Olivia got to do a floor routine. And, like she said, it wasn't perfect, but damn, it was beautiful. It was great to see her out there again. She did a phenomenal job, and she deserves all the great things that'll be coming to her hopefully after she graduates. And she's just, all of her teammates just love her, and she is just a special kid. And I really do hope that we can get her on the show so you can kind of just see how special of a person she is and how just of a genuine person she is. She's done a lot. I was going to talk about this during the interview, but she has really done a lot, especially on Instagram, with dealing with women's issues and dealing with body image of women. Something I hope we can talk about, and just trying to set a tone for positive vibes and positive body images for women. So it's great to see that, and great to see someone that is in the program that young girls can look up to. So LSU will have the number 2 seed at SEC championships. SEC championships start March 20th, so not this weekend, but the following weekend. So we're looking forward to that. Once I get more information on that, I will pass it along as far as when they will perform. I think I want to say since it is a bigger meet, I believe what they do is I think 4 teams go at a time, so you'll have one team on each apparatus. I think is how they do it. I'll find out more once the schedule comes out, but I'm almost positive that's how they do it. So they'll do it basically in 2 sessions. Or 3 sessions, and then I don't know if the winner of each session competes against each other. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember how it goes, but I'll figure it out. I'll let y'all know, and when I get that information, I will be sure to pass it along. We really had a great show last week. I hope you can go back and take a listen. With Jeff, we discussed a lot about LSU football and that situation with the Hush Blackwell report and Les Miles. And we really went long in that show. It was almost an hour and a half show. So this show is probably a little bit shorter possibly than it normally is. I don't know, maybe it's gonna be around the same time by the time I finish it. But I just really I really wish you go back, or I'm asking you to go back and listen to the last week's show, because it really was a good show, and discussed many things, and Jeff was a very good guest to have on the show. And obviously we'll have more guests as the season progresses, as we get closer to football. I'm going to have a friend of mine, Dustin, come on, who's very big into LSU football and LSU recruiting. So I look forward to having Dustin on eventually, when we can get it set up. And I'm hoping to get some other LSU personalities on in the near future. So something just to look forward to. So listen, I appreciate everyone. I appreciate all the downloads. It's very humbling to me that that many people want to listen, to care about what I say. And appreciate, I guess, or care about my opinion on things. So thank everyone for the downloads. I really do mean it. If I could personally go out and thank each and every one of you, I would. And hey, I can. If you get on my Twitter account at Tiger_podcast, I'll give you shout outs on this show. I have no problem doing that. So please tweet us, like our posts. Follow us on Twitter, Tiger_podcast. I really would like to have more interaction with you guys, so please do that. Leave comments on posts that I put up. Tweet us. Tell us what you think of the show, how we're doing. Like I said, I'm open to any kind of constructive criticism. I'll be, more than happy if things need to be tweaked or moved or whatever. I'm more than happy to do that. I just hope that y'all continue to download and continue enjoying the show. And I plan on doing this show for as long as there's an audience for it. And as long as, LSU is, I mean, not as long as they're doing well, because I'm an LSU fan. Come hella hot water, rain or shine, not a bandwagon fan. So as long as there's an audience for this show, and as long as you keep downloading, I will be more than happy to keep doing this show. I enjoy doing this show. To be honest with you, I had a pretty crappy rough day today, and there was a big part of me that didn't want to come on and do this show tonight, but I am so happy that I did, because it got me out of my funk. It got me out of my bad mood. I know I ranted a little bit there, which probably seemed like I was in a bad mood, which I was at that point, but doing this show is a lot of fun. It pulls me out of bad mood sometimes, and I'm really happy to do it. So, with that being said, That is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, and it is all free, including podcasts like the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which is a show we do after Saints games. And, you know, I'm thinking about toying with maybe doing one after the LSU football game. So if I can get some people to want to do that, I might do that as well. Also, will depend on how intoxicated I am at the time. Also, the Don't Patrol podcast, our big show. We did a show the other day about the Saints. It was a very good show. And we also did a WandaVision show. So if you are a fan of the Disney Plus Marvel WandaVision show, go back and listen to that. That was a very fun show to do. Let's see, what else? We have the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and our show at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Don't Patrol Podcast. We did do a live stream of our show the other night, so it is live. You can still get the video live on the Don't Patrol Podcast Facebook page. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Thank you. Have a great night, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball as you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score, make Mike the Tiger stand right up and